Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love this day. It's a beautiful day to gather together. However, this day is not typical of most days in some ways. In this day and age, this is a different kind of a day and age than what I grew up in. Books, things like that, aren't quite as used as they used to be. So people don't have much, and I was going to bring them, I forgot to bring them. People don't have much use for bookends. You know what bookends are? Anybody know? Okay, you've seen bookends? I'm sure that there are some folks here who probably have never seen bookends or ever used them or know what they're for. But they're like brackets, kind of like, that are wrapped at either end of something to define where things go. Bookends are good for keeping things upright. I bring this up because in the gospel lesson today, there are bookends, so to speak, being used that hold things or keep things together. The bookends are a phrase that Jesus uses. He says, "In my name." In my name. He says it twice. You see that phrase used by our Lord near the beginning of the reading and at the end of the reading, like bookends. And the things that Jesus teaches that are being held between these two phrases can be seen as, one, the way we care for the least among us. And secondly, the way we seek out the lost and the lonely. And thirdly, the way we live together in the body of Christ. As to the first one, the way we care for the least among us, that comes from when Jesus says, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." And then as to the way that we seek out the lost and the lonely, Jesus says, "If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off?" And then he speaks about the way we live together in the body of Christ. He says, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over." Now, all of these things Jesus teaches us in the gospel lesson, the way we care for the least among us, the way we seek out the lost and the lonely, and the way we live together in the body of Christ. These are all bookended, again, so to speak, by that same phrase, "in my name." It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we do all the things that we do in our life. It is His name that does something different. His name brings His presence to us. His presence in our lives is what gives us the power to seek after the lost and to care for the least. It is His presence in our lives that allows us to be reconciled with one another and to live together in the body of Christ. His name. His name is that power in our lives to do all of these things, literally to do everything. His name, if you think about it, it has power beyond our understanding. The power of His name is not something that we can scrutinize under a microscope, nor can we chart or graph its mysterious properties. That's because it is just that. It is a wondrous mystery. His name, the power of His name, presents a challenge to us because we're Greek-thinking and logical-minded and postmodern dwellers. In large part, that's because we have trouble with mystery. We're out of our depth with the inscrutable and the unmeasurable. I have a favorite song, and one of the lines in that song is, "The only problem I have with these mysteries is they're so mysterious." It is a mystery that the presence of Jesus is among those who believe in Him. I read a quote someplace. Someone once said, "A religion without mystery would be a religion without God." Well, for us, mystery at least has a name. And it's the name of Jesus that wondrously and mysteriously brings His presence among His believers when and wherever they are. Now, the second bookend that Jesus said in the gospel lesson today is, "For where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am among them." He has promised His presence wherever His believers gather in His name. We're no closer or further away from God in the sanctuary building than we are here. The second bookend, I'm sorry. He has promised His presence to us. And it's His presence that indeed changes us. His presence makes us different and new. By Jesus' name in our lives, we're made something new. We are made His representatives. So wherever we go in life, we represent the name of Christian. We belong to Jesus. And so where we are, so also He is. After all, it's His presence which calls us out of the death we ourselves lived under in sin. And He makes us new. He transforms us by His word and by the power of His name. By that mysterious power alone, we are made into what we were not before. We go from being enemies of God, and by His word and by baptism into the name of Jesus, we are made children of God by trusting in His name. We're made into those who have become responsible, like the Old Testament lesson says today, to be watchmen. In Jesus' name, we've become the watchmen that tell others of God's word and the truth of His high, holy mystery. The Old Testament lesson says that those who bear the word of God to others do so in order that they, the others, might be made alive. That they may turn from their ways of self-destruction and death. And now that brings us back to the life-giving and renewing relationship with God that is found only in the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus. Now, we are one body in Christ. And that is true simply because, and only because, in speaking Jesus' name, He chooses. He chooses to come and make us part of His body, the church. By bearing His name, we also bring His presence, like we said before, wherever we go, because we do bear His name. So that means we are to care for one another as Christ cared for us. That may mean sacrifices. It may mean sacrifices great or small. It can be as simple as this story I heard from a friend of mine. She was visiting her husband in a nursing home, and she visited regularly, and she got to know some of the other residents there. On one visit, when she was leaving, she spotted, sitting directly in front of a big fan, her hair was whipping around her face and all of that, there was this dear woman she had gotten to know who was 102 years old. She liked to sit in her wheelchair and footwalk all around the residence. My friend asked her if she was enjoying cooling down in front of the fan, and the woman said, Oh, no, not at all. Then my friend noticed that her wheelchair had gotten caught on the leg of the fan. So after being rescued by my friend, the woman laughed about it and then thanked her, and she pedaled away in her wheelchair. My friend's presence was a great relief to this lady. Just by being there, just by her presence, we can all be a great relief to one another in the body of Christ when we see someone we know being blown around by life. And simply being there in Jesus' name, we can be there to help them. Now, Jesus also said in today's gospel lesson that if your hand causes you to sin, what?
Cut it off.
Cut it off. The indication from this, or what Jesus is telling us, is we are to be vigilant against sin in our own lives so that we don't disfigure the love God has given us in Jesus. We have been given, by grace alone, forgiveness for all of our sin. In and by the words of Jesus today, our right hand has been cut off. It was done on the cross. Jesus, there on that cross, disfigured himself for us so that we wouldn't have to. And even if we did cut off our own hand, it wouldn't be enough. Jesus, rather, was totally cut off and totally disfigured in our place by his death on that cross. And so we don't seek to return to our sin or go back to that from which we've been freed by the sacrifice of Christ, by him being cut off from his Father. Remember always that he alone has taken our disfigurement on himself. There's a plastic surgeon, Dr. Maxwell Maltz, who tells a story that gives us just a glimpse of the mystery and the meaning of the cross of Christ, and what an extreme sacrifice Jesus has done to make us part of his own body. One day a woman came to see Dr. Maltz, and she told him about her husband. She said her husband had been injured while attempting to save his parents from a burning house. He couldn't get to them. They were both killed, and his face was burned and disfigured. He had given up on life after that and gone into hiding. He wouldn't let anyone see him, not even his wife. She explained to the doctor that he wouldn't let anyone help him because he believed God had disfigured his face to punish him for not saving his parents. Then she made her request to the doctor. I want you to disfigure my face so I can be like him. If I can share in his pain, then maybe he will let me back into his life. I love him so much. I love him so much, I want to be with him. And if that's what it takes, then that's what I want to do. Well, of course, Dr. Maltz wouldn't agree to do this. But he was moved by this wife's determined and total love, and he got her permission to try and talk to her husband. So he went to the man's room and knocked on the door, but there was no answer. And he called through the door. He said, I know you are in there, and I know you can hear me. So I want to tell you, my name is Dr. Maxwell Maltz. I'm a plastic surgeon, and I want you to know that I can restore your face. There was no response at all. So, still speaking through the door, Dr. Maltz told the man what his wife was asking him to do. She wants me to disfigure her face, to make it like yours, in the hope that you will let her back into your life. That's how much she loves you. That's how much she wants to help you. So there was a little bit of silence, and then slowly the doorknob began to turn, And the disfigured man came out to make a new beginning and to find a new life. He was set free. He was brought out of hiding and given a new start, not by the surgeon, but by his wife's love. That's a dramatic expression of human love that gives us a picture, however faint, of the saving mercy, of the love that disfigured Jesus Christ in our place on the cross. We get to live new in that mercy that God granted to us in Jesus' name. As we live in that mercy, we do not seek to again return to the sin that caused Jesus to take our disfigurement on himself. His body was beaten and bloodied and bruised so that we could enter eternal life whole and healthy and free. By his resurrection, we are made members of his now perfect and eternal body. We seek to now live in a healthy way, spiritually. The bookends of his name in our life are what keep our life upright and in order. Now, we also seek to pass the blessings of membership in the body of Christ to others who are locked away behind their own doors, silently bearing their own scars of sin. We go to them. We go to those who have been blown around by the winds of life to share with them the freedom of living in Christ's gracious presence. We want them to have the health and vitality, the newness and refreshment that comes only from life in Jesus' name. As we close, remember, it's by the wondrous and mysterious power of Jesus' name that wraps each of us up into the body of Christ. His name gives us his victory over the disfiguring of sin and death and the devil. That is what we seek to pass on to others by hearing, sharing, and living the gospel in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.